Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this February 13th, 2023, 10:05 on the clock, got your host, James J. Maloff here. I'm joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul.
Morning, James. Morning, all.
Good to have you with us, Randy. And
great
good to have
here
with us, coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Peckman, joining us. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Good to have you here in the studio. We're going to, Randy and I will take your phone calls in just a little bit, 424-2600. And of course, we'll be talking Super Bowl in just a little bit as well. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out and sponsoring the show. But we got a coach in, we got to talk hockey, got to talk some River Kings. And I want to talk about the game over the weekend, Coach, to kick things off. River Kings and Hudson Havoc faced off. Hudson 2-1 over our Kings. What stands out to you from that game? What did you take from that game?
Well, I thought it was probably one of our best games of the season. Mm. You know, I mean, when it's 0-0 going into the third period against probably one of the top teams in the league, you know, we were going toe-to-toe and we had our opportunities. And so the takeaway is that we can play with anybody. I think as the season has gone along, we've known that we can go toe-to-toe. Now it's just about finishing, you know, and now you got to get over the hump and you got to beat those teams if you're going to make a run at this thing.
And I think what I've heard, too, is that Hudson was impressed with the progress that your team has made this year as well.
Yeah. I was talking to Miss Kelly at Grace's, and she still knows some of the guys, Yakus and Brzecki and Kerrich, and they were surprised on how well we played and how much better we have gotten since the last time, and they were not prepared for that. So we're going in the right direction, you know, so I'm happy with that.
And it's a team you could meet again down the road, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Assuming things go well the next couple of games here, right, and we get past the first round, more than likely we will play them in the second round. So
yeah,
it'll be a good match.
Hudson in first place in the Midwest West Division of the USPHL. When you size up against a team like that, you go into the second period like that, as you said there, Coach. You're coming out of this game, it's 2-1. Anybody that knows and watched one game of hockey can tell you that a 2-1 game could have easily been 2-1 the other way. There's got to be a lot you can pull from when it comes to that, but then there's the loss part of it too, and there's a phrase that I always loved. Don't let a win get to your head or a loss to your heart. And balancing that. I'm always curious, especially at this level, how you balance that as a coach. How you don't let your guys get too ahead of themselves or too under themselves or any of that.
Well, you try to keep them in the moment, right? What are we trying to accomplish here? Whether it's at the end of the second period or at the end of a game even. At that game, I told them, I said, listen, hold your heads up. I said, I'm so proud of you. That was probably one of the best games of the year, right? That game could have easily gone. It was 1-0, 5 minutes left. Tobias hits the crossbar. That could have changed the whole dynamic of this thing here, and it would have got real crazy for the last 5 minutes. Mm. So nothing to be ashamed about. It's the effort and the commitment, and that's what I preach to these guys, right? So if you do that and stay true to that, we'll be in every game until the end. So I want everybody to know when they come in here, it's going to be a battle.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that you can guarantee going forward, you know, with these teams. We don't always know, you know, style of play and some of those things might change or adapt a little bit. Knowing that you're going to come to the Southland County Rec Center and you're going to play a hockey game. Like, you're going to know you just played a hockey game. Like, that's nice to be able to not only advertise, but it's got to feel good for that team. I know it does for our community. I know it does for the fan base. It goes a long way.
The boys were so excited to see. I mean, there was a lot more people there on Saturday. I mean, it was over 650 people. So that was the biggest crowd so far this year. Mm. And you feed off of that energy, right? And that was what I told them after the first period, is all these people are here to watch you compete and battle, right? I said, so feed off of that energy and just take it to the next step in here. Let's just take it one shift at a time. And focus on your jobs and know where you are. And a lot of game situational stuff that we talk about, just understand where you are and don't try to do too much, you know, sometimes. And when the opportunity presents itself, take advantage of it, right? And as long as we can take care of our back end, which we did a tremendous job with, very proud of that. And that's something that we stress all year long. You can't win in this league without playing good defense, good team defense, right? So I think we're starting to, it's really starting to, you know, we're honing in on that.
You know, you talk about teams coming in having that. You got that happening the next two weekends, don't you? With the Mullets and the Blades are still coming in for two each.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But the Mullets here is a team that struggled this year. I mean, I love their coach. He's a great guy, Chris. But they're struggling here. We win both these games, we guaranteed home ice advantage in the first round. Mm. So we just got to come in there and just take it one game at a time, mm-hmm. make sure we take care of business. Steel County is a team that's slowly creeping up, and we won 2-1 twice against them early on. And we're a totally different team; they're a different team, so it's going to be interesting. And more than likely, we're going to wind up playing them in the first round. Oof. So it's going to be four or five games in a row.
Wow!
So that's going to be interesting. So they are a team that we definitely got to pay attention to.
So I think that's just something for the community to shoot for, right? Got to beat that 650 total, right?
Yes.
It's up at
yes.
every time you come in, right?
Yes. That'd be amazing. Yes. That would be amazing. Yeah.
We do have four more home games here at the South County Rec Center, guaranteed at least.
Right.
So we definitely want to fill that stadium up. Want to let sure that everybody knows what home ice advantage is. Coach, I know you had something you wanted to touch on first. Before we get to that and let you go, here, I know how busy you are. I do want to send a special shout out to Kane Russell. On the River Kings website, you can find this yourselves for riverkingshockey.com. There was a nice saying goodbye thing from him,
right.
And we don't get to see that much from these kids. You know, we don't get to say goodbye to them very often. We don't get them to say goodbye to us very often. Yeah. They come in and out of our city and our lives, and they're gone. And we root for them when, you know, kind of hope for them to have good careers and stuff. But we've done this a lot with the Rafters over the years, having them in town, and now we've been able to do it with our River Kings as they've been, you know, around. And it was just a nice moment. It was kind of fun for the, I don't know, fun is maybe not the right word, but it was meaningful for the fan base, for, I would think, for him and his family to have that moment. It was nicely done by the Kings. I thought the organization handled that really well.
Thank you. Yeah, great kid. I love that kid. It was just one of those situations where he just had something better back home.
Yeah.
And just, you know, maybe he wasn't in the right situation or wasn't playing or certain things like that happened. And he just had a better opportunity to go back and play and finish the season there, which is fine. I love that kid. Everybody loves that kid.
Yeah.
And he'll be missed. And I know he's watching. And hopefully we do him proud.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. I know that we wanted to remind people, people know about something coming up here, Coach. This is pretty cool, a fundraiser coming up.
Yeah, tonight we're going to be at Grace's Restaurant. We're going to do a fundraiser with Grace's Restaurant to support the Assumption Middle School Washington, D.C. trip, right? So, and our Leadership Development Fund. So I'm hoping that everybody comes out tonight between 4 and 7. To support that and help these kids get to go on a trip that they would probably never get to go on. So that'd be great to help out with.
We'll send people there. We'll send some of those same people to the Southwood County Rec Center this weekend and make sure that they help the Kings build hockey up and down the river. We always appreciate the time, Coach. This has been so much fun.
Thank you.
And we're looking forward to not only the wrapping up this last month of the season, but what's to come in that, not even just the postseason, but the future of River Kings hockey. It's bright and we're enjoying it.
Well, thank you. It's exciting. I'm already recruiting.
Okay, right. Good. Like a good coach. Yep.
I talked to a kid from Austria, a kid from Italy,
wow.
a kid from Iceland.
All right.
And a kid from Michigan, and that was all over the weekend. So,
woo.
We got some guys that are interested.
Nice work.
And it's just, you know, because of the community and all the stuff that we do and how we're embraced here, it makes it very attractive. And as long as we continue to build our culture and how we connect with the community and how we produce on the ice, you know, you attract more people. Right.
Right.
So,
on.
Hopefully we continue to do that.
You know, and it just seems like we had that meet and greet, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but what has happened since that time and what you've done with your kids and what you've done getting them involved in the community. That was one of the things you said right off the bat. You know, you just want to build good people, right?
Yeah.
And show them how important that is. And I think that's something you've done throughout this year, and we're looking forward to it in the future as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate
it. Yeah, well done, Coach. Nicely done. Appreciate it. Help the Kings build hockey up and down the river. Fill up the South Dakota County Rec Center for every River Kings home game. You can find out more by going to riverkingshockey.com. You can also get tickets there. And be sure to support your Kings on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI, home of all your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home games all season long. Take a quick break, come back, we'll take some of your phone calls and have some more fun here on Playmakers at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, everyone, here at WFHR. Playmakers proudly brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. This is your show. Call up and join Randy and I, 424-2600. We'd love to hear from you guys. Go ahead and call up and join the conversation. Big shout out to Coach Peckman for joining us. Always good talking with Coach, talking some River Kings. That was a lot of fun.
You bet. He really enjoys it here in this community. You can just tell by the way he gets fired up. You know, we get to see his facial expressions. And, he really enjoys it here, that's for sure.
Randy and I did some heavy reporting, and it turns out the biggest game of the year was yesterday. It was as every other Super Bowl in human history, a little controversial.
Oh, I thought you were talking the Waste Management Golf.
Oh, yes. Yeah, next show, we'll talk about that. Next hour, we'll talk about that. Yep. I think there's a couple of places to start when it comes to the Super Bowl yesterday. Certainly a shout out to both teams. I don't think anybody really has a reason to have their head down or anything like that. I think one of the biggest things that stands out to me is Jalen Hurts put on one of the best performances I've ever seen in the Super Bowl, had basically one mistake, and that's kind of what ended up doing them in. The insanity of that, right? That you can do so much right at your job. You can blow people, all these things, in that one thing that happened in like the first quarter or whatever. Yeah, that's going to come back to haunt you.
You know, you tie Terrell Davis for the most touchdowns in a Super Bowl with three, yeah, right? And yet, what happens? I mean, he throws for over 300 yards. He rushed for 70. Right.
The kid, there wasn't much more he could have asked him to do.
Just not drop the one ball, right?
Yeah. I do think it would have been funny if, I don't think it would have been too shocking had he won Super Bowl MVP. And I think it would have been funny to see him have to go up there and accept the award, like, while all the Kansas City guys are there. Yeah. Let's take a phone call real quick. Good morning, you're on the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Great, you?
Oh, well, it's a beautiful day. I mean, can't ask for a better spring day.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Pitchers and catches report Thursday.
Yes, oh, yes.
It's right around the corner.
Opening day, March 30th. Right around the corner.
Right around the corner.
What's on your mind today?
James, you had your, you say you have your rant, and you're going to probably talk about it a little bit with the field conditions. I thought the field conditions were terrible also. I mean, to me, I was kind of surprised there weren't more injuries.
Yes.
Due to that field conditions. I mean, relatively, I think the players came out relatively healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They think they had one injury timeout with that big hit there in the first half, the second half there, but. I'm kind of losing respect for some of the Chiefs players, though.
Mm, mm.
You know, it's like the arrogancy, especially with Travis Kelce. I know you're excited, you won the game, but you have an obligation as a professional to act professional. There's a lot of bleeping they had to cut. You know, they had to throw the dump button quite a few times when he was talking. You know, there's a time and place for it. You know, you're on TV. It's not the time to, make yourself famous for that.
It is kind of funny how I don't disagree with you, but it is kind of funny how we watch these guys literally beat the daylights out of each other. They're mm-hmm. gladiators. It's one of the most violent things you can watch in life is watching a football game. But then we get a little bent out of shape when they use cuss words. It's a little funny. It is a little funny. I mean, I completely agree with you, sir. I really do. But it is kind of funny how we look. Did he swear? Oh, how dare he? Like, didn't we just see them like literally beating the daylights out of each other? I couldn't agree with you more. I will say, not to defend, but more of a devil's advocate kind of way, we all understand football players are crazy. Like, yeah. It's a crazy, you have to be crazy to do that for a living, for one. And it is like the motivator. Every NFL coach going to Pop Warner on up is looking for, how do I motivate my team? How do players motivate each other? And it's the most, one of the most ridiculous sentences in the world of, nobody picked the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. I mean, are you serious? Like, really, man? Are you kidding me? Like, come on. You were the number one seed. You have Patrick Mahomes. Like, nobody was, you weren't underdogs. But it's not surprising, because we've seen this. Like, teams do this all the time. Build up. Aaron Rodgers is walking around still with a chip on his shoulder for getting drafted late in the first round. He's won how much? He's proven how much? I think that Aaron Rodgers has proven enough in his career, yet he's still walking around with that chip on his shoulder. Like, athletes aren't normal. Like, it's just kind of like, that's the way it works.
You know, and that's, you know, now you bring, you know, and I was going to kind of, you know, allude that to maybe toward the end here, but isn't that amazing? You know, Patrick Mahomes has been in the league 6 years. Mm-hmm. We've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks within the Packers organization. Mm-hmm. We have two championships in 30 years. Mm-hmm. They've done it twice in six, and he's been there three times.
So
it's just, you know, obviously they're putting people around him to give him that opportunity. I mean, he's made a lot of things himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said in the pregame, I was coming in as a gunslinger.
Yeah, yeah.
And Andy Reid basically reined him in. And it just, to me, it shows that organizations are willing to help back, the, you know, it just, that's the one thing about being a Packer fan, I guess, is that we've had these opportunities and we've been there three times.
Mm-hmm.
We should have been there more than what Tom Brady was.
Oh, I agree. And I don't think you're going to find any Packer fan that would disagree. I don't think you're going to find any person that's a fan of an NFC North team that would disagree with that. It's hard not to. I will say that, you know, we are talking about the smallest organization in sports. It's not easy to bring free agents in. It's not as easy as it would be. But, you know, Kansas City is a small market team, too, and they have a hard time bringing free agents in. So I could see both sides of the argument. I'm very curious to see, like, how NFL teams learn from the Andy Reid model. And we've seen other coaches do similar things, but Andy Reid has really made a point of this throughout his career, going back to McNabb and other guys, instead of, this is my playbook, you learn what I do, and that's the end of the sentence, and more of what he does, oh, these are your skill sets, these are what you're good at, I'm going to work my playbook around you, I'm going to highlight what you're good at, and I'm going to work with you as a man to try to build a relationship with you, and have a, so that we're almost... inacceptable. Like, when Patrick Mahomes is on the field, Andy Reid is on the field. When they're on the sideline, they're both there. Like, they're interchangeable almost.
And he's also put people around him too that have that same mentality of in his coaching staff. I mean, it's just amazing what he's done. You know, he had the super team back in when he was with the Phillies and the Eagles, but. And he couldn't do the super get win the Super Bowl that year, but I think he learned from that mistake. He's one of the best in-game adjustment coaches out there.
That's what I've one of the other things I've been waiting to talk about is halftime adjustments. And how that's a phrase that we've all heard and we talk about all the time, but we don't see the evidence of always. But in the Super Bowl, I think more than any other game almost, you see that when it happens, when you do see an actual halftime adjustment. There was a lot of things that surprised me about that second half of the game. Nothing shocked me more than not hearing any defensive player for Philadelphia's name mentioned. Like, they make a big play, so, and then so-and-so just made a big play, but nobody made a big play, so you heard none of their defensive players' names. That defense especially, I went back and I'm going over some of those plays like later in the night and stuff to try to see like what did Andy Reid, what was he doing different? How did he knock them out of the game? And it wasn't anything like revolutionary. It wasn't anything that they noticed the holes and they adjusted to those. And Spagnuolo on the other side of the ball noticed this is how I'm just going to clump Jalen Hurts. I'm just going to clump him. And if I do that and make him force him to be a passer, And as long as my corners do their job, we might win this game. And I don't know if I've ever seen better clock management by an NFL coach than the last 3 minutes of that game. What Andy Reid, you could do a master class on how to run out the clock. I never thought that was exciting before. I never thought it was interesting. The way Andy Reid did that in a Super Bowl, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that, where I'm like, okay, Jalen Hurts is going to get the ball back with at least a minute or so left. I mean, you know, this is going to be pretty exciting and everything. And then little by little, like, wait a minute. No, they're going to be able to run this thing down. Holy, and before you know it, oh my God, Kansas City is going to win the Super Bowl. Like, it was within 2 minutes you realize, oh, we're not going to overtime. Oh, this is going to, and it really starts and ends right at the top there with that man. He's done all of this. Well, for decades, going around drawing mustaches on people's faces and not getting caught for it. Like, that's pretty impressive. That's
yeah. How's State Farm going to take that now, being that the Chiefs won the championship at State Farm Stadium with Mahomes and Coach Reed, you know, part of those commercials. So.
If you had stock in that, that was really something. Did you enjoy the game?
Yeah, I did. You know, and usually a lot of times when it comes to the Super Bowl, especially if the Packers aren't there, I usually watch till halftime a lot of times, and then call it a night. But yeah, I watched it to the end because I knew it was going to be exciting. I didn't have Kansas City wedding. I was one of those few, but because I kind of going off the paper, you know.
Yeah.
On paper, Philadelphia was a better team.
Yeah.
You know, but they just took, Kansas City, took their advantages when they had the opportunity and went from there. And, I mean, kudos to them. And, you know, I've always liked Andy Reid. Excuse me. And, I'm happy for him. Like I said, there's just a few, players that I'm not, liking anymore.
You know, to bring it back full circle, not to cut you off, to bring it back full circle to what you were talking about when we started the conversation, I felt a little of that from the Chiefs players. I felt it incredibly from Nick Sirianni. Like, Nick Sirianni kind of bugs me. I don't know what it is about him, but there's something about him and the way he calls a game that's... Like, I like a coach that has cojones and all that. I think you'd have to have a little of that to be a coach. There's a difference of that and arrogant not having a respect for the other players and the other coaching staff. And so many of his actions are kind of like all the things that I dislike about Philadelphia fans. Like, he kind of embodies. And at one point, he's pointing, like, the first down marker. He's doing a field thing like that, like you would expect. And Jalen Hurts is telling him, no, man, don't do that. No, don't. What are you doing? Don't. So Jalen Hurts, this young man who's, 24 or something like that, he's more mature than your head coach. That ain't a good sign. Like, that is not I also got to wonder how a lot of these younger coaches, like the Staley out in Los Angeles or Matt LaFleur, watching him in the Super Bowl and being like, come on, how is he in there? And because I don't know anybody that's saying, well, Nick Sirianni's an amazing coach. He's amazing. I don't know. It almost feels like Philly got there in spite of him in some ways. So I would be frustrated if I was like, because I actually think Matt LaFleur is a good coach. If I think that some of these younger coaches are actually really good at what they do, maybe haven't gotten to the big game yet. I'm sitting there watching a guy like him. I'm like, come on, what do I got to do here? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that one, James. I mean, you can see the arrogancy. Maybe he has that, has the passion, and he doesn't want to hold it back. But there's to a point, like you said, there's to a point where you don't act like a high school kid on certain things. You got your professional, and it's just like you and me. We're professionals at our job.
Yeah.
We're supposed to, show our professionalism there at the jobs, because that's what we're supposed to do. And I think that's the way it should be. And there's a lot of people that look up to these guys, and if they see how arrogant and everything it is, and that's how they're going to act.
I will say this. We learned, if we haven't learned, we're going to learn nothing from the DeMar Hamlin Hamilton situation.
Right.
This is a life and death situation. Oftentimes, this game, any one thing wrong way, and it can cost a person their life, or their you know, being paralyzed, like Mike Utley when we were kids, like any of these kind of things. That all stays in my brain. And when they score a touchdown, if they want to dance, they want to celebrate or whatever, I think you earned it. This is a very tense situation. But I also think that there's a line in the sand. I think it can go too far and too extreme in some ways. And I always really enjoyed the way Barry Sanders would just score a touchdown and hand the ball off to the ref. I just thought that was kind of cool. It was you know, I don't begrudge these players for celebrating because, again, life and death. But I also think that, you know, the caller here has a very good point. Kids are looking at that stuff. Kids are seeing these things. And also, though, the biggest thing that we're missing here, or maybe not missing, but the biggest thing we have to touch here on too, is this is entertainment. It's all about that. And when it comes to entertainment, you're never going to have enough prop and circumstance. You're always going to want more, or always going to have that.
And that's why I like the Lambeau Leap, because you're celebrating with your fans, right?
Yeah, yeah, no, yes, yes.
Well, yeah, but didn't Lombardi say that? If you score, act like you've been there a million times.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless if it's your first time, you know.
If so. Vince Lombardi didn't say it, Vince Lombardi thought it every day of his life. Every
yeah, you know, you sit there and think back when he was a coach and how he would handle the situations nowadays. You know,
I love that.
He had no fear of being in anybody's face. You know, and telling you how it is.
They do this all the time where they talk about if you took LeBron James and put him in the 50s, like they think he was an alien.
Right.
I love the idea of taking a coach from that time and put him in today's state, like, and see how that would go over with these young players and stuff like that. Always good talking to you, sir. You have yourself a great week. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Oh, yeah, next week is baseball now.
Yes, baseball. We'll talk more then. We'll take a quick break. We will. I do want to still talk about the field and a little bit from the game, but when we come back, Randy's got some local coverage for us. We'll get into that, and we got plenty more coming up for you on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Randy and James here with you, and want to send a big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out, sponsoring the show. We're here to take your phone calls at 424-2600. While we're, let's go ahead and take a call, and then we'll get to some local coverage, Randy. First, take that call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yes, good morning, James. I've been waiting 130 days for this week to be here. Play ball.
Yeah, yes. March 30th, can't get here fast enough. Opening day, right around the corner.
Well, I'm waiting to watch some of the pregame seasons on TV, too. So the first game will be on the 25th with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing better than guys running around out in the outfield, loosening up while the game's going on. It just kind of gives you that spring feeling, doesn't it?
Something about seeing outfielders stretching. Yeah. Like, I don't know what it is, but that it screams baseball to me in the beginning of baseball season. Yes, you're so. That's a great call, Randy. I didn't even think of that, but yeah, that, you're so right about that.
Yeah, the World Baseball Classic starts on March 8th through the 21st. We got seven of our players in that, also from different countries. Representing different countries.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, too. There's plenty to talk about there, and I'm sure we're going to be getting to it. We've got a whole season to get to covering some of that stuff, but it can't help ourselves. I'm glad you called up. I'm glad you mentioned it. I'm sitting here in a White Sox shirt, so, I mean, I'm very excited for the baseball season to start. We hear you. Thanks for the call, sir.
All right, thank you.
That's a good call. Good one. Randy, what do you got for us?
Well, let's start off in boys high school basketball in the Valley. Rapids defeated Wausau East on Thursday, so got a little revenge on that one, 73-55. But then they fell at La Crosse Central on Friday, 57-50. Marshfield stepped out of conference to defeat Eau Claire North, 63-49. The Trees whipped 3-Dubs, 76-55. And Spash mauled Merrill, 69-36. The Merriwood South Assumption won at Tigerton, 53-34. And at home over Abbotsford 74-43 as Ryan Shaw scored 22 and 32 points in those two games this past week. We'll have more Royal basketball for you tomorrow night, or I should say tonight, as they play host tomorrow night. Save that again. That's the boys tomorrow night as they play host to the Wildcats of Northland Lutheran at 7:10 on WIRI. Elsewhere, third-ranked Newman held off Platteville 70-65. Marathon popped Phillips 85-67. Ninth-ranked Auburndale nipped Athens 50-49. Stratford ripped Rib Lake 58-45. And Edgar falls at home to Shawamigan 59-54. Central Wisconsin South, Port Edwards trampled Tyrone County 91-22, but then fell at home to Shiocton 73-68. Seventh-rated Pacelli is now undefeated in conference action as they beat Elmond Bancroft 60-52. Wild Rose held off Pittsville 43-39, and Rochold came up 3 points short to Tigerton 53-50. In the South Central, Nakusa put up a battle at Wautoma before they succumbed 78-61. The Dells has no problems with Wabino Leona 76-46 and Westfield 81-52. And Adams Friendship rallies past Mauston 54-46. Girls high school basketball in the Valley. Wisconsin Rapids comes up 10 points short against Merrill, 56-46. Spash now sits alone at the top of the Valley as they pick up a thrilling 68-67 double overtime win. Dang. Against Marshfield.
Nice.
In the battle for Wausau, East gets defeated by West 67-44, and Everest gets ousted by Oshkosh West 63-28. In the Merriwood South, Assumption wrapped up the conference title for the third straight year with an overtime win at Auburndale 68-63 on Tuesday, and a 43-41 victory at home over Abbotsford on Thursday. Tonight on WIRI, they'll host Stratford, and our broadcast will start again at about 7:10. And speaking of the Tigers, they lost to Edgar 41-39, but romped past Rib Lake 55-20. Auburndale also lost to Athens on Friday, 56-51. Marathon falls at Phillips, 64-45, and Newman popped Prentice, 78-39. Central Wisconsin South, Port Edwards got tripped up by Tri-County, 37-25. Almond Bancroft is now 19-3 as they beat Pacelli 56-43. Wild Rose is just a half game back as they got past Pittsville 71-48, and Rochold rocked Marion 70-17. South Central, Nakusa beat Port Edwards 61-37, but they lost to the Dells 69-9 and Wautoma 61-25. Third-ranked Westfield is 22-1 as they throttled Adams Friendship 59-26, and Wautoma also won on Thursday, defeating Mauston 46-43. Well, the matches, the seedings are out. They had that yesterday afternoon for the girls' basketball. And in Division I, next Tuesday, February 21st, so a week from tomorrow, Wisconsin Rapids actually has a home game as they will be hosting D.C. Everest. That's the good news. The bad news is that the winner plays the number two team in state and top-seeded Nina at Nina on Friday. Also Friday, February 24th, Spash hosts Oshkosh West. Marshfield will entertain Holman, and Appleton East goes to Three Dubs. In Division 4 on Tuesday of next week, Nakusa goes to Marathon. The winner will be at fourth-seeded Auburndale on Friday. Stratford hosts Wyawega Fremont winner. And the winner will play at number 3 Whitburn, and number 2 seed Westfield gets a bye, and on Friday they'll play the winner of Manawa and Montello. Division 5, all of the teams that are playing, that'll be next Tuesday. Top seed Assumption hosts Port Edwards, so kind of nice to have that local
flavor. I like that.
Yeah. And then the winner will play either Rochold or Pacelli. So tomorrow night the girls are playing Pacelli, so they could play Pacelli twice within about 10 days. Yeah. Second seed at Edgar is at home versus Tigerton. They'll play the winner of Newman and Gresham. Number 3 Athens hosts Rib Lake. They'll play the winner of Columbus Catholic Northland Lutheran. And number 4 iScan entertains Tri-County. The winner will face Ellen Bancroft and Prentice. In wrestling, Wisconsin Rapids placed first at the Merrill, at Merrill for the regional title. At 113 pounds, Landon Freeman grabbed first place, while 6 Raiders finished in second place. Gavin Jacob at 103 pounds. At 120, it was Jacob Bender. Carter Freeman at 126. Bennett Weidman at 160. Kyler Tritz at 170. And at 285, Tanner Gormanson. Next up, Tuesday evening, sectionals will take place at Everest. Rapids will face Pulaski, and the winner will take on the winner of match number two between Everest and Bayport in the finals. In Division Three, Stratford advances at Edgar as they took first place, and they will face Clear Lake, while Pittsville finished second at Aquinas, and they will now go up against Fenimore. And in girls gymnastics, on senior night on Thursday at the Fieldhouse, a triangular took place. Marshfield came away with first place with a score of 134.675, just edging out Lincoln, 133.25. Yeah. And then Spash came in third, not too far behind either, 131.7. And finally, in hockey action, good battle for the Red Raiders as they lost against Spash last week 5-2, but then they beat Monona Grove this weekend 8-4. And now, tomorrow night at Southwood County 2000, playoff action starts. Yeah. They'll take on ninth-seeded Toma, who I believe they split with earlier this year. So, and just a few things taking place at this
time. Just a couple things. Yeah, not too much.
Just
not
a
too
few. Much.
Incredible coverage, as always, Randy. Thank you so much. Nice work, sir.
You bet.
We got great stuff on the radio dial for you tonight, right here at WFHR at 6:05. We'll have the Greg Gard Show. Interesting to hear what Coach has to say. I'm looking forward to that, especially while he has the job. And I mean that in a mean way.
Right.
I mean, because it's interesting when coaches are in this spot. We had it with Coach Christ earlier this year and how that went. So I'm kind of curious to see how that show goes.
I saw that Brian Butch kind of came to his defense because people are, you know, calling for his head. And he said, yeah, all he's done is won the last two conference championships.
That's all.
Yeah. So
yeah,
about time to get rid of him.
Way too quick to pull the trigger sometimes on some of these guys,
age,
I think.
Right?
And on our sister station, WIRI, tonight at 7:10, Assumption Girls hosting Stratford. Randy and Don running that one. Have a great time tonight, you guys. Will be a good game. We'll be listening.
Yeah, it should be fun.
We'll take a break. Get that out of the way. Come back, take some of your phone calls, and talk a little bit more sports with you on Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR, brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Randy and James here with you, and we're here to take your phone calls, 424-2600. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour, and we want to take as many phone calls as we can. While we're sitting here waiting a little bit, Randy, for you guys to chime in if you'd like to, I want to talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl, and I certainly do want to talk about the field, but I want to just take a moment to actually, because I think by now at this point it's, you know, it's 10:45. Everybody's talked about the field ad nauseum by now. If you heard the morning show today, you heard us talking about the money that went into that field. They spent 2 years building that grass, over $800,000, and that's what they got. Like, just ridiculous. You have an industry that it's got money falling out of itself. It's got so much money. Player safety has never been more important. The public eye has never been more on player safety and all that, and that's what you get. That's what you give people, the biggest game in the world. You give them a field like that. The caller said it earlier. I was holding my breath half the time with these guys waiting for an ankle to go or a kicker. You know, especially with the kicker we saw, how bad that could have been with that opening kickoff in the second half there. But all that being said, one of the coolest things I think that any of us will see in a Super Bowl happened, and I don't know if it happens without the bad field. So you had the longest punt return in Super Bowl history happen with Kadarius Toney returning that 60-some yard punt return, setting Kansas City up, and I thought was the play of the game. I thought that was the play of the game, changed everything. The Chiefs' momentum that came from that, really didn't really lose that momentum much since after that moment. The Eagles have an incredibly good special teams, you know, but it's the second half, and you know how this works. A punt return usually works. Toney hits the grass at one point and kind of falls down a little bit. Now, all these guys booking down, punt returners coming down, they can't necessarily see above the blockers. So all they see is Kadarius Toney kind of like almost go down. So they let up a little bit and they kind of start leaning more towards the other sideline and all that. And that little bit of hesitation, that little bit of let up and his patience as a runner caused that play to happen. So without the bad turf, I don't know if that play even happens. So I'm a hypocrite. I don't know what to say here. I'm the biggest punt return fan in the world, and we saw the longest punt return in Super Bowl history, and I'm not sure if it happens without him kind of having that moment where he kind of looks like he's going to fall or he's going to get, you know, be tackled by the ground, by the turf monster or something. And just kind of funny how that stuff works.
Yeah, I think it was like 94. The Packers are playing their last game at Coney Stadium, and the Packers have to win to get in the playoffs. And Brett Favre scrambles, and he rolls to the right, and he dives into the end zone, and Chimura picks him up and spikes him in the ground. Everybody jumps on him. I'm thinking, oh, that's great. You know, he hasn't been injured in his whole career. Now he's out because he got spiked by his own guys. But he was
right,
fine.
Right, right.
But the funniest part is they showed it from the end zone, and number 26 for the Falcons, who I have no idea who it is, but number 26 slipped.
Oh.
And just because he slipped, he met Favre at the goal line, and Favre just beat him. If he doesn't slip, you know, everything's different.
It's just so insane how this stuff. We talked about it last year with the Kevin Durant foot on the three-point line.
Yeah.
Look at now how that has gone. If he makes that shot, they end up beating Milwaukee. All those guys are still in Brooklyn. Steve Nash is still coaching. I mean, like a year later or less than a year later, and you look at like nobody's there. It's a ghost town in Brooklyn now. Yeah. Like, it's just crazy.
You don't. You would never have the immaculate reception if when that ball got deflected, the guy who's behind watching the play jumps up in the air to celebrate because it got deflected.
Right.
And then it's caught by Franco and he runs because that guy who jumped up in the air goes to push Franco out of bounds, and he just barely gets a hand on him, where if he's not up in the air and coming back down, if he just ran right away, he meets him over there, we would never have that play. Just think how that would have changed history.
It's incredible how much it can be changed by an inch.
So the only good thing about the field being slippery was nobody got their cleats stuck in the turf.
yes, that was right? Good at least, yes. Good morning, you're on Playmakers.
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Great, you?
Hey, how are you thinking about that announcer yesterday? Did a good job.
I thought so. I thought that they did a not only a good job, that they didn't make it about themselves. You know, I forgot what that's like to listen to announcers that just call the game and they make it about the game. I really appreciated it about both of those guys. I love that about, you've heard me ramble already about the announcers I enjoy. I think that Randy's incredibly good at what he does. I think that Kevin Harlan is very good at what he does. I like announcers that it's about the game. I never heard Vin Scully go, you know, let me tell you a story about me. No, it was about the game. It was about calling. And I feel like Greg Olson does a very good job of that. Sometimes, you know, I forget that Greg Olson's the color commentator because he is kind of matter of fact and doesn't do a lot of like going in this direction or that direction. But I think it works. And I think when you've got a game like that where you've got people watching the game that don't always watch football, it's pretty good to have announcers that are just kind of giving you the game. What did you think?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the new Fox team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree. I don't know, what they're going to do with Tom Brady, but I don't see Tom Brady being a guy that calls games. I could see him being in there with Jimmy Johnson and all
kind
those
of
guys.
Tony Romo, kind of
maybe. I could see that. Yeah.
You could put him in the bag with Bob Costas.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Always good to talk to you, sir. You have a great day.
Yeah, you guys too.
Thanks.
So did you enjoy the game, Randy? Did you like the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was entertaining. It was interesting because the Eagles really seemed to dominate early, and and that fumble, you know.
Yeah.
Boy, the time of possession was crazy for the Eagles in the first half, right? They're up by 10 at the break. Boy, if they don't have that fumble, it might be a completely different ballgame, right?
It's so
weird. You feel
weird.
So bad for them.
Yeah,
right?
They
just dropped it, you know? That's just, oh.
I did want to mention this for those that did not see the Eagles cornerback who was called for that holding penalty did say that it was holding. He came out right away and said,
"Grabbed him." Yeah,
I admire that. I think that we need more of that out of our athletes, less whiny baby and more just accountability. I thought that was a really cool thing that he did that. I mean, you know, you can make the argument, what else is he going to say? What else is he going to do? But we've seen guys act like knuckleheads in that situation. He was a man about it. He handled it, I think, the best. You know, if I'm a young dad and my kid's in sports, I want him to see how he handled that. Just very similar to the Cincinnati Bengal player who pushed Mahomes out of bounds and got, you know, the passing interference thing. By the way, did you notice how careful all these defensive players were to when they got close to the sidelines? There's almost like, not me. Everybody became a little kid with their hand in the cookie jar all of a sudden. Like, no, that wasn't me. Like, every player was very sensitive to that.
It almost made you think that they talked to each other and said, you know what, quarterback, if you're heading for the sideline, don't you try to get extra yards. You go out of bounds and we won't try to hit you. You know, and it was almost like a gentleman's agreement, wasn't it?
Right. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It just felt like that. Like, okay, we're not going to go for that extra 2 yards by turning it upfield, and we're not going to try to knock you out of bounds either.
It was interesting that, like, if you didn't know it was the Super Bowl, you'd be watching this and think, well, this is a good NFL, you know, regular season game. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be happening week 6 or 7 or something like that. Like, it didn't feel like – it felt cool because of that, and also didn't – it felt like at moment – like, that game wrapped up, and I'm like, my God, the Super Bowl's over.
Yeah.
Weird. Like, I didn't feel –
I thought about that one time during the game, too. I'm like, this is it. This is the final year. I'll tell you what, that pregame took way too long.
Oh, man.
You know, we'll start at 5:30, and it was like, what, 15 to 20 minutes later, and the halftime, of course, is 29 minutes, and they can probably go home, shower, come back.
They don't know what to do with all this coverage. They can't fill the time, and yet they keep trying to fill the time, and I don't get it.
One of my favorite scenes before the game was when they showed the coin toss from Super Bowl I.
Yes.
And there's
yes.
like four players and the officials, and now they showed half the stadium was on the field. Oh, my goodness.
I certainly think that what happened with the field was noteworthy, and I kind of talked about that. I thought this was pretty cool to see special teams play such a big factor in the Super Bowl. I'm always a fan of when that happens. But if I'm an Eagles player, I don't have my head down today. I don't think they have any reason to. And I think it really just stands out how much a quarterback, you look at Jalen Hurts' stat line, and like, well, what more could that kid have done? And like, well, just one thing, just not fumble the ball. There was one turnover in that game.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
No pick. There's that one, there's that scoop and score, and there's that other one where they had a replay because he hit him. Ball came free, picked up. Same guy scored on that one, but then they said that he didn't have the catch on that one.
I think there
are two plays, I think, that they reviewed that were very close, and they took quite a bit of time on it. You know, the ball maybe moved a little bit, and I think it was that other one too. But it's just like, I still wish they would go, they put this in to fix obvious mistakes. And if they have to look at it and dissect it and say, oh, that toe just barely came off the ground, if it goes over, they should set a time. If it goes over 2 minutes, you stay with the call.
I agree.
Because that would just make things a whole lot easier. Say, well, sorry, time ran out. You know, and then the controversy would be, well, they just stalled, so they wouldn't have to make a call or a decision.
Right.
But if it's that close, you know, I'd still think they should do something different with it.
I think that, you know, it would have been nice to see them let that last play go, let him play.
Yeah.
But I also think that it was a penalty, and, you know, I get it.
You know, you think to yourself, how many other guys during the game? I'd love to see the defensive backs grab a guy like that. Cause it wasn't like he got really close to catching the ball, and I didn't think he impeded him 7 yards.
No, not at all.
And it's just like, you didn't call one hold or pass interference the entire game, and then you do it, which basically sealed the win. Basically, I just kicked the field goal.
Yeah. I thought that Mahomes' run was really interesting and noteworthy and memorable, especially when you're watching Jalen Hurts do what he's doing with full power of his legs, and Mahomes with nothing but dragging that foot like it's dead with willpower, and you could see it on his face, and that run was noteworthy. I think the most noteworthy thing to come out of that game, arguably, and the most crazy stat line to come out of that game, the Eagles had 0 sacks.
Yes, I was going to mention that, too. If you would have told me before the game that defensive front would not get a sack.
No way.
I'd have said, you know, they bet on everything, right?
Yes.
That would have been one.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Said, yeah,
well, I'll take that bet. Yeah, I'll take that bet. Orlando Brown Jr., Joe Thunney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Andrew Wiley, dogs. Just dogs. Nice job, gentlemen. That offensive line coach has got to be sitting there just so proud.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way you could have. I could see the Chiefs winning. I had the Chiefs to win. I wanted them to win. But there was no way in the world I would have thought that, like, not only I would have had multiple sacks, I would have been surprised double digit sacks.
You know, every once in a while you hear about how a quarterback just buys these extravagant gifts for his offensive line. I wonder what Mahomes is going to get for these guys.
That was really cool. I saw online at the end of the game, they're like his agent and some people are yelling at him to come out. You got people to talk to. You got, you know, this and this and this. He was late because he was going to every offensive lineman and talking to him like, hey, baby, thank you. Like, oh, man, that was awesome, man. Like, he took the time to do that to his player. Like, that's the kind of thing. That's why they play so hard for this kid. No matter how popular he gets, no matter how famous he gets, he's still Pat Mahomes. He's still this kid. that players love to, you know, you hear Andy Reid talk about him, you hear everybody.
I was just going to say that. In post-game, you know, he and Patrick and Andy Reid are standing next to each other, and they're having the interview with the people. And he says, I know Patrick, you know, isn't going to say anything about him. That's why I'm going to break him up. And then Patrick brings up the coach. I mean, you could tell they're friends.
Yeah.
You know, even though Andy's got maybe a few years on him.
Yeah. I also I don't think we do this ever. I think Terry Bradshaw has really grown into that job of that. I don't think Terry's the greatest at it or anything like that. I don't think he's supposed to be. I think he's supposed to be Terry Bradshaw in that moment. And the way he asked Andy Reid about the retirement thing and all that, like, that's an awkward question, but his delivery, his the Terry Bradshaw charm and all that, like, it didn't come across that way. It felt like two guys just talking.
Right.
Like, come on, man, you're going to keep doing this? You are? All right. You know, it was a nice little, like, kind of moment to be a part of. It was kind of cool. And I actually, like, I've grown to really, like, respect, like, let's be fair here. Terry Bradshaw got to study under the great Ed O'Neill on Married with Children. So his acting credentials are solid already. He's a I thought he did a nice job, though. It was a fun moment and a fun Super Bowl. And we're really, really excited about next week talking baseball. We got it out of our system. We got it all out of our system. All the football talk's all done now. Now next week, we're going to focus on baseball, pitchers and catchers reporting, all of that. I want to really get into, make sure that everybody knows about these rule changes going into the start of the MLB season. I'd like to take some time on that and talk some baseball when we get back. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, these tournaments are going to continue here. This is like the busiest time of the year. You know, you've got wrestling going on. You've got basketball going on. Hockey's taking place. That's just high school sports.
Right.
So
right.
It is. Yeah, it's the madness of March starting in February.
Love it. And any chance you get to support any of these high schools, any of these high school kids going to these games, please encourage you to do so.
Well, I like what Coach Beckman said. They're going to be, you know, at Grace's tonight with Assumption Middle School. And then from there, come on over to Assumption High School because we're going to be broadcasting that game for you tonight between the Royals and Stratford and girls basketball. And then tomorrow night we got boys basketball over there. And then we'll be back there Thursday night again with girls basketball. And then the tournament starts the following week. So it just is fun. That's for sure.
Thanks for the time, Randy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We'll have more Playmakers for you next week. A big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR, locally grown radio.